Greetings to each one in the very precious name of Jesus. It's been a blessing to be here. I've enjoyed our time together. And I suppose one of the hardest things for me to do, and possibly for you at a time like this, is just to shift gears in our mind and leave some of the good thoughts and some of the things that inspired our hearts to this point in this service and change subjects, as it were, and re-gear ourselves. I'm glad this morning that as I approach a subject like I've been asked to speak on, preaching sound doctrine, that I not only have one page in my hand, but I have many pages in my hand, and I praise God for that. I praise God for the opportunity to preach a message on sound doctrine. I praise God that we have a sound doctrine to present, that we have His Word. We have a Bible. We are a blessed people. And we realize this morning that it is a responsibility to take this Word and to put it into practice, to preach, put it into practice in a way that God can be honored and glorified, that His work goes forth in His earth among His people as He wants it to. I will admit I struggled where to begin with this message, wondered what all I should include because, like I said, it's many pages. In fact, it's the entire Word of God this morning that makes up the canon of the Scriptures, make up this morning the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all doctrine is what it is. And just to make that point, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to break in at verse 10. I'd like to introduce a few thoughts in the outstart of the message that I believe are things that we need to be aware of as leaders, as we think of our responsibility of preaching, as we take up the Bible from time to time. There's some things I believe that are well for us to remember. Just a few practical things I'd like to point out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We're going to cease reading there for the moment. There's two things I want to point out in the introduction of the message that I believe make it important for us to realize that we need to preach sound doctrine. Number one, in verse 10, he says that the gospel of our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, is a gospel that is unified. It's a unified gospel. There are no divisions. There should be no divisions. We should be perfectly joined together of the same mind and realize that there's the same judgment coming for each one of us in the same judgment of God's Word. We can make that application as well. But brethren and sisters, notice that we as church leaders have an influence on people. And this is one of the reasons why we need to be sure that what we say is sound doctrine. He says that there are contentions, there were contentions among the people because the people were following men. They were following various preachers. Some were looking at Paul, some were looking at Peter, some were looking at others. Leaders have a way of getting a following, as it were. This morning, as many different leaders as are sitting here in this audience, there's various gifts, there's various abilities, and we understand all that. And that's good. God created that for our enjoyment, if I may say it that way, for expounding the word in various ways. But you see, it happened in the early church, and it can happen in our day today, that leaders can draw a following. People will follow. It's just natural for people to want something that they see they can follow. It's there. And we as leaders need to be aware of that. And so we need to be concerned that as we lead people, and we don't want people to follow us, we want people to follow Jesus. And so we need to point people to Jesus. And that's a part of sound doctrine. That's what he's saying in verse 17. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And the gospel this morning is all-inclusive as we think of the, he says that we need to preach the cross. Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to some foolishness, but to us it is the power of God, which brings salvation, which saves." And so we want to promote that. The second thing I want you to notice, having already said some of this, is that there is no other message. There is no other message. The cross, Jesus, what he's done for us, is the message that we need to carry out. And that is all-inclusive. You see, that involves the entire canon of the Bible, all the scriptures, because Paul reminds us that had Christ not died and had he not risen, our preaching would be vain, our salvation wouldn't be anything, that the scriptures wouldn't hold, the truth wouldn't hold what they do had it not been for the cross and the effects of the cross and what all happened there. And so it's all inclusive. I just wanted to The phrase in the song that we sang this morning in number 270, you don't have to turn there, just caught my attention. "We bless thy name, O Lord," was, I believe, the second song that we sang this morning. And the second stanza said, "Thy word is law divine, in thee all laws combine." I love that this morning. That phrase jumped out at me. It's in Christ. It's in the cross. It's in the story of salvation that all the laws combine. The doctrine of Jesus, the doctrines, the preaching that we need to do comes out of that. It's the point I want to make. Now, let's just read on a little bit. I don't know how much of this I want to take the time to read. I know the clock's going to get away. But verse 19 says this. It's another thought I want to pick up on before we leave this. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And he goes on and he talks about the Jews requiring a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." Verse 25, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." He talks about our calling. And we come down to verse, let's jump in at verse 27 again. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Why? "That no flesh should glory in his presence." that no flesh should glory in his presence. Brethren and sisters, this morning, the Bible states clearly that the inspiration that produced the words of the Bible is beyond the intellectual abilities, the intellectual creative ideas of any one of us. It's the Word of God. You see, God did not just give men ideas to express in their own words. God, in his faithfulness, through his Spirit, gave the message that he wanted to give. And as we look at preaching sound doctrine this morning, we need to realize that it's the Word of God. That needs to be settled in our heart. It's God's Word that we have that we're holding forth. And as long as we preach what's in God's Word, and yeah, there's other things, and we're going to look at that. We need to rightly divide the Word and all that. I understand that. But my point is this. The Bible that you and I hold is God himself. It's Christ. It's the Word. And I thank God for that this morning. That's very evident. When I thought about that, I thought about the fact that the Old Testament prophets that prophesied things in their day didn't even fully understand what they were prophesying. God was working through them and was giving them the inspiration, and they prophesied things about Jesus and about the future, even though they themselves didn't understand those things completely. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you're taking note, verse 10 and 12, I won't take the time to go there, but talks about that. 2 Peter states that the prophecies of the Bible did not come by the will of men, but by the prophets spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's such a blessing to realize that this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about the fact that the prophets themselves wondered about the things that they spoke about. They looked into them. They were searching into them. They didn't understand them. They would have liked to understand what they were prophesying, but they didn't in their time. In fact, it says that the angels would enjoy searching that out and looking into that. And then we have a verse in Revelation 22 and verse 7 that says that, blessed, happy are the people that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You see, the sayings of the Bible are the doctrines of our Lord. And to keep the doctrines is for the church to be divinely blessed. And I just want to emphasize that in the outstart of this message this morning, that we realize that we have an entire book full of doctrines, so many of them. And I'm thankful that, like I said, that I don't just have one page, but I have many of them, even though that's giving me a problem this morning, because I don't know how much of it I can cover that I'd like to cover. The first practical point that I'd like to make, I have about five practical points, and then I have, I'd like to conclude by looking at an example that we have of the early church as well. But the first practical point I'd like to make in this message is that the right keeping of the teachings of the Word of God depends on the right understanding of truth. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to stand before a people and we're going to point them to Christ and we're going to point them in the right way, we must have an understanding of the teachings. Our teachings, our understanding of teaching must be based on truth. It must be based on the Scripture. We must take the Bible. And I'd like for you just to think a little bit what's happening in our society and in our day-to-day. But we live in a day, and I'm thankful that this isn't everywhere, but this pressure is out there, this pressure is around us. We live in a day when experience is exalted and doctrine is de-emphasized. We live in that world today, brothers and sisters, where it's all about Jesus. It's what Jesus has done for me. In fact, we are told that doctrine's dry. Doctrine divides. It subtracts from a true love for Jesus. Those teachings are out there. And I'm going to tell you this morning that it is true that doctrine divides. Jesus said he came for that very purpose. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of purity, a kingdom of holiness this morning. And that's what the purpose of the life of Jesus done on earth. To make a way, but also to bring that, I'll say this morning, that division that's going to come with that, because Jesus said that he was going to do that. It is true that the doctrine divides. And we do need to have a relationship with Jesus this morning. Don't misunderstand me. That is very important. But it's more than having that relationship. It's more than just the beautiful things that happened with that. Yes, there is laws and commandments and so on that come along with that. And that's what our society shies away from today. The Jesus-only doctrine that is so prevalent. It's more than that. And so the right keeping of the teachings of the Word of God depends on the right understanding of truth. I say again, you see, there are groups of people around us who say that we should lay down our doctrinal differences and simply celebrate this joy, this Jesus religion, and be one happy group in that. And brethren and sisters, we cannot afford to do that this morning. The call is for more than that. In fact, let me just point out in the epistle of John, 2 John chapter, verse 9 is what I want. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You and I want all of it this morning, do we not? We want the Father and the Son, and we want doctrine. And I'm so glad that there's verses like that in the Bible. Now, having said, just pointing to what society thinks and what people around us are saying and some of the pressures that are there, I'd like to ask this question this morning. Does the Bible say different things to different people? Or is it the difference in our interpretation? And we know the answer this morning. The Bible says the same thing to everyone. It's the difference in the interpretation is what it is. And so I come back and I say that we must be grounded in the truth of the Scriptures. And having said that, I want to give you some practical things that I believe this morning are a part of this. As we study the Bible and as we look into the Word, I'd like to say this morning that the Bible, the Word of God, this doctrine is its own best interpreter. Amen. Compare the Scriptures Amen. With Scriptures, and I believe that's the way we find sound doctrine this morning. Brother Anthony alluded to the fact that we have a lot of other helps, a lot of other books, and I appreciate those. I turn to those many, many times, and I get lots of ideas from writers, people that were blessed and can write with abilities that I don't have. I turn to those sources. But I'd like to tell us this morning, let's come back to the foundation. Let's check those writers' theology out with the theology that we find in the book here. You see, the Bible is its best interpreter. In fact, as I thought about that, go back to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. I'd like to read a few verses here. There's a very, very sobering thought that is laid out here in John 12. In verse 47, it says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I am not come to judge." This is Jesus speaking. I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world. "He that receiveth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The doctrine that you and I hold in our hands, this printed word that Jesus has given us, is what is going to judge us in the last days, is what he's saying. What these verses are telling us is that finally our eternal destiny hangs on being able to pass the test of the Scriptures on the day of judgment. That's what it's saying. my eternal, your eternal destiny hangs on that. And so it's a sobering thought to realize that it's very important for us as we preach and as we lead people that we stand on correct doctrine. Very important. Secondly, second point I'd like for us to think about is that it is necessary that as ministers of the gospel, we know what are the teachings of the inspired word and that we make these doctrines a part of our faith and practice and life. In other words, it's more, my point is this, it needs to be more than a head knowledge to every one of us as leaders. As we lead people, we need to know what the experience of it is ourselves. We need to have it as our practice. This morning, what is your thought as we think about theology? Maybe I ought to say it like this: what is my theology? What do I believe about the Bible? What do I really stand on? What is my opinion of God's word? Various subjects as we think about them. Where do I stand on? Brother Anthony alluded to that. Do we know? Do we understand the doctrines? Various doctrines. You see, we must. Because for biblical principles to be honored, they must be put into practice. If we don't put them into practice, we won't honor them. And the way we put them into practice in our lives, and this is true for everyone, but especially to us as leaders, people are watching. Remember I said people follow us. People look, they watch, and they observe. And it's probably this saying that we say more is caught than taught sometimes is probably more true for us than we realize. We can stand up front here and we can give some glowing testimonies, some glowing messages. We can preach glowing messages. But you know, if my life and your life doesn't live up to the message that we preach, there's something about that that just doesn't hold a lot for people. And so it's very important that we have it a part of our life. Now, how do we make it a part of our lives? My mind goes to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, where he talks about studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'd like to just think about that a little bit this morning for a few moments. One of the ways that we put it into practice, or one of the ways that it grips our hearts, I believe, more than just having it as a head knowledge, is when we apply ourselves and we study. We get acquainted with the Scripture. Study is hard work. I understand that. It's something that probably all of us, well, if you're like me, you sit down and you study for a while, and after a while, you just had enough of this. It's time to go do something else. And if you get to that point, I would encourage you just to go do something else sometimes, because sometimes when I'm putting messages together and I come to a place where I just feel like I'm so stalemated and I can't get my thoughts together anymore and I can't go, when I leave that and I go do something else, all of a sudden it all just starts happening again. God has a way of helping us in that. Maybe you probably all experienced that. But my point is this. Let's be students of the Word. Let's study. We must be students of the Word. You see, okay, as we study, as we are students of the Word, it grows on us. It grows on us. There is a conviction that gets built in each of our hearts and in each of our minds. And the more we study, I believe, the stronger that becomes. We start understanding things better for one reason. And as we understand more and more, we just, in our lives, we just start saying, you know what? There's this area and there's that area that I even need to change in my heart and in my life. I see it different than I used to. That makes sense as we compare Scripture with Scripture. And so on. Studying. The other reason we need to study is so that we can rightly divide God's word. That we can rightly divide truth from error. There's a lot of error. The Bible warns us that there are numerous spirits out there. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work. And that's why we have so many different opinions on theology and so on among us. And so, again, remember this. As you study, the Bible is its own best interpreter. I just want to remind you that. As we study, study makes a difference in what we believe. It makes a difference in what we believe about the Trinity. It makes a difference in what we believe about Jesus, his sonship, his virgin birth, his atonement for sin, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again, and we go on and on and on. It makes a difference, dear ones. And so study. Studying makes a difference as to what our attitude is about God's Word. The more we study, the more we appreciate God's Word, the more we learn about God's Word, the more we love it. And it grows, and it grows. And so this morning, I just want to emphasize again to us the studying of God's Word. Another reason we study, brothers, is because we have this paper that Brother Anthony talked about that gives us a charge. It gives us a responsibility. We must study so that we can feed the flock of God. We must study so that we can share. Maybe I'll just read a few verses in 2 Timothy in relation to that. 2 Timothy, again, some familiar verses. I want 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. Verse 15 is what we're talking about. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And then he goes on to say this, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past, and have overthrown the faith of some. That's the point I want to make. We study because we have a responsibility, and we dare not be responsible. We don't want to be responsible of overthrowing the faith of some. You see, as we think about that, in view of these, I'll call them terrible facts, and in the light of the knowledge that we have of the eternal Word, we have the tremendous responsibility resting on our shoulders to show men and women the way, the glorious way, the gospel, the truth, the liberty that we experience in the gospel, the peace, the joy, the freedoms that are ours because we have found the light and we want others to find that. And so we must study to share. This verse also says, thirdly, that we study to be approved. God is looking, is watching, is observing. The day of giving an accountability will come. It is important that we know what we believe and that we believe right so that we ourselves are not deceived by false teachers. But again, just stop and think for a moment what it must feel like, what it would feel like, what it would have to feel like to someday realize that our preaching, our practice, I'm talking about putting it into practice in our own lives, our practice, if it were to have deceived someone, what would that feel like? I don't believe any of us this morning in this audience has a desire to deceive anyone. But as I think about that sometimes, I'm just awed with the responsibility that lays on our shoulder to realize I don't want to wake up someday, brethren and sisters, and realize that we've deceived someone by our practice, by our lives. And that's where I have confidence in you and a brotherhood. I'm glad that we have a brotherhood and we can come together. The last few days were a way of working through some of the doctrines and some of the things. And brothers, I just value that so much. I think the older I get, the more I... And it's what gives me courage, gives me, confidence to go on. Thirdly, The scriptures also teach us that preaching sound doctrine requires a theology that teaches the commandments, the standards, may I say the principles that are essential to a saving faith and victorious living. My point is this morning is that it is more than just the Jesus doctrine that we talked about earlier. It's more than just that. The Bible does give us direction. God gave us direction. God gave us many commandments in the scripture. There are principles that point in directions, and some of them aren't just black and white. Some of them we need to search the scriptures and study and compare scripture to scripture and so on. But it does require, sound doctrine does require that we preach and we teach and we promote the commandments and the standards and the principles that are essential to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Again, it comes back to this thought that we have an all-inclusive doctrine. God, an all-inclusive word, the Bible. God gave us enough that we can find our way. Notice that God intended for scriptures to be something to help us to righteous living. That comes out in verse 16. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God intended for the scriptures to help us choose and have righteous living in our day. Notice too that sound preaching will not camouflage the unrighteous living of our day. Brethren and sisters, we need to call sin, sin. We live in a world today where there's a lot of alternative phrases being used, such as alternative lifestyles and on and on and on. We need to stay away from the things that water down the doctrines that God wants us to promote. Let's be bold and plain in our preaching and in our teaching. I think this is an area that probably all of us get caught up in sometimes. We would like to say it in a way that it doesn't sound quite as bad. It doesn't sound quite as strong when it comes across the pulpit. It's probably a temptation that we all face as men. And I just want to encourage us this morning, let's not camouflage. Sound doctrine means that we're going to take God's word and we're going to preach it and we're going to do it in a way that it's clearly understood. And not water the scripture down. I'd just like to notice three words that he says are essential to preaching sound doctrine here. Verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. First of all, he says that it is profitable. It's for reproof. It's for doctrine. Yeah, It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable. But I like to think about the word reproved. There's three of these words the word reprove portrays the idea of bringing about that sense of guilt. The conviction that God wants to put into the hearts and lives of men, that's what we as ministers are supposed to do as we preach. We're to bring about conviction, that sense of guilt. And that sense of guilt, we don't bring it about to bring guilt to people, but ideally what we want is a confession of their lives and the sin that may be in their hearts. And so we need to preach against sin. We reprove sin. And I'd like to say this morning. Let's remember that in every audience, there are those that need help. Maybe not every audience. Yes, there are the unconverted in every audience. I believe it's safe to say that there are people who are unconverted in every audience. And we need to keep that in our minds, that there are those who have already made choices that are taking them on a wrong course. And so every one of our messages, it's fit to do some reproving in. It doesn't have to be the entire message, but it's fit for us to do that. It's a part of preaching sound doctrine, I believe. Sermons that reprove are messages on things like dishonesty, how to flee fornication and idolatry, the tragedy of bitterness and what bitterness does to us, the laziness of sharing the gospel, hindrances to our prayer life. Those are all things that are we must reprove and help our people come to an understanding of what's happening in our heart. You see these, and there's many, many other subjects that need to be preached. And I like to say that as we preach those, we need to preach them with a passion. We need to preach them that it comes through that this is what we believe, and this is what we know God wants from our lives. We need to preach it with a passion, brethren. Don't back away from doing that. Because I believe that in every audience there are those who are in a state of indifference already, and we need to somehow reach their heart. The second thing that he brings into focus here is the word rebuke. As we think about rebuke, I believe preaching sound doctrine there's rebuking that comes along with preaching sound doctrine. Rebuking has the idea of bringing some correction about. Rebuke is preaching to correct. We need to, and I'd like to just say this about that. We need to speak clearly and maybe even somewhat sharply at times. We need to be careful how sharp we speak. I understand that, but let's, again, going back to this idea of let's be clear, let's be understood. Let's preach in ways that we don't let a lot of question. And we need to do that whether we're speaking to an audience that we know is open to correction or they're not open to correction. We have this responsibility before God to preach sound doctrine. And brothers and sisters, preach sound doctrine wherever you go, to whatever audience is before you. Here a few weeks ago, I was traveling home from Idaho, my wife and I, and we sat in an airport because of delayed flights. Rather late at night. Actually, it was early morning already is what it was. And we were in the airport, and there was the group of people that was in the airport that time of the night was just a different group of people than what you even see in the airports during the day, I think. It had a very much a different feel. And as I sat there and I watched people just walking, passing by us, everybody was waiting on delayed flights. There was people sitting in corners and laying around and sleeping. And so I had the opportunity to see a different side of a lot of people late at night. And I had a wonder. Here I sat as a minister of the gospel, and on every side there is just sadness and sin and debauchery and lost souls. I thought to myself, what would Jesus do? Would he just sit here and look at this and shake his head, poor people? Or would he get up and start preaching? I didn't get up and start preaching. Don't worry. But what would Jesus do? What would have Jesus done? Jesus would, I said to my wife, wouldn't Jesus get up and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? That's what he done. And I just say, should we be encouraged more to rebuke and correct and be a little more pushy than we are sometimes. I'll say it like that. The third thing I'd like to think about is this thought of exhorting. Exhortation has the idea of comforting. I'd just like to share this with you. It's not original with me, but someone has said that the role of the preacher is to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted, and I like that. That is so true. We need to afflict those that are comfortable, that need some affliction to wake them up and make them stop and consider, but we also need to comfort those that are afflicted, and let's be faithful in doing that, and I believe that's what exhorting, the idea of exhorting. I'd like to share another one with you that's not original with me, but an old minister once said, in order to preach aright, take three looks before every sermon. One at your own sinfulness, another at the depth of human wretchedness that is all around us, and thirdly, at the love of God in Christ Jesus, so that we can be emptied of self and full of compassion towards our fellow men, that thou mayest be able to administer to God's comfort to souls. And I believe that is so true. I pondered that for a while. You know, if we stop and we look at our own needs, our own tendencies as ministers, and then we look at the needs that are around us, and then we finally get a glimpse that God has all the answers. God can provide. We have the message. I believe it's some good advice for us as we take up the role of preaching and teaching at times. Fourthly, preaching sound doctrine is a demonstration of God's Spirit within us. This ties back to my thought that it needs to be a part of our lives. But let's just turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 1. I'd like to read a few verses. Paul speaking, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in fear. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And the point I want to make this morning is that we must enter into the Spirit with the Lord Jesus to preach sound doctrine. And I know this can be carried way too far, but notice that he says in verse 4 that his preaching was not with men's wisdom. It was not his own wisdom. It was not his own ability. It was what God gave him. And that's the point I want to make. We need to pray. We need to enter into the spirit realm with the Lord Jesus and allow him to fill our hearts so that we can preach the things that he wants us to preach and that he wants us to teach. He came not with the excellency of speech or his own wisdom, but he came declaring the message that God had, the testimony. And I just like to ask the question, how did Paul do this? I think we have some of the answer in verse 3 where he says that he was among them in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I believe it was because of that his preaching, his teaching was with the demonstration of what God gave him, the Spirit and the power and everything that came with it. It's okay to tremble. I'll confess to you this morning that as we traveled in here, the closer I got, I think the more I was trembling because I realized the responsibility that was laying on my shoulders, and I knew the audience that I was going to be preaching to, men, faithful brothers and sisters who have, many of you have more wisdom than I do, more understanding, a better understanding than what I do. I realized that it was quite a responsibility. But you know what? In my fear and my trembling was not because of you. I can assure you of that this morning. It was because I realized that this is a responsibility before God. And God and preaching His Word. And as I preach, to make sure I'm preaching sound doctrine as I preach on this subject. I have confidence in you, brethren. In fact, I find myself quite relaxed among this group at times. And I'm thankful for that because I trust you. I have confidence. It comes back to this idea that we need each other and so on. But we do need to have that godly fear and that feeling of trembling. It should always be with us. That should always be with us. I believe that faithful ministers know the fear and the trembling that Paul was talking about and sense their own weakness. Yet he preached, in all that he preached the truth of Christ in a way that they understood it with plainness of speech. And I'm glad this morning that we can do the same. He also, I thought about Paul in his day and the day that he was preaching. You know, he needed to enter into that relationship in the Spirit with Jesus because he laid down the doctrines that he laid down for us today as God delivered them to him through the Spirit as well. You see, we have the printed word. Paul didn't have all that in his day. The printed word was still in the making, and so Paul needed to be filled with the Spirit, and he preached the doctrines as the Spirit delivered them. He also left the Spirit to demonstrate the truth of it, and we must do the same. We don't somehow push the point ourselves to demonstrate. We let the Spirit do the work. It's a part of sound doctrine. Now, having said all that, notice that we must compare spiritual things with spiritual, and that is very, very important to preaching sound doctrine. This whole spirit thing, we can go off, and I'm not going there this morning. I think you all understand that, but we can go off on the deep end of the spirit world, as it were. The Spirit that bears witness of Christ's truth. 1 John 5 and verse 6 through verse 8 talks about that. Fifthly, preaching sound doctrine is an awesome responsibility, and it must be taken earnestly and prayerfully. I don't often use that word awesome in messages. It's a word that our world has abused, but it fits here, brethren and sisters. It is an awesome responsibility. When you sit at your desk and you start studying and you start preparing for messages, realize that there is an awesome responsibility. And we enter into that earnestly, and we enter into it prayerfully. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16 says that we're to meditate upon these things. We're to give ourselves wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. It takes time, it takes hard work, it takes study. It's a part of preaching sound doctrine, to rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And we could go to Titus and read through Titus and a number of things that Titus has to say about preaching sound doctrine that backs all that up. I'm not going to do that. The clock is moving on. I'd like to go back to Acts chapter 2 this morning. This was not original with me. I was studying for this message, and I received a phone call from a brother, and we were talking just a little bit, and he shared this idea with me. He knew I had this assignment for today. And I really liked it, and I'd like to use it. I'd like to share it with you this morning just to sum this thing up. There's, in the early church, I believe that we have four characteristics that we see here that are a part of, I'm going to say, having sound doctrine, or what makes sound doctrine, in other words. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, and I'd just like to start reading at verse 41 and read through verse 47, the end of the chapter. This is what was taking place in the early church. It says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly with the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." There's four characteristics, I believe, of a church that has sound doctrine that we see in here. The first one is worship. They came together and they worshiped. They that gladly received were baptized. They were added unto the church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship. They had a time together. They shared together. They talked together. They done what we were doing the last few days, I believe. They were taking the scriptures and they were looking at them, and they were making application to them, and they were breaking bread. They prayed over things. They were having fellowship. They were having church life together, as it were. The second characteristic that I see here is that they had instruction, I believe. I believe it was a part of them. It's in verse 43, it says that there was fear among them, there was signs and wonders, and as they continued together around the doctrine and so on, I believe there was instruction. I believe we see that in this passage. They instructed each other. They held forth the doctrines, and it was probably a time of them getting an understanding of them, getting them set straight in their minds, and being able to comprehend what God had for them. There was brotherhood here. They were united. They had all things in common. I take that there was the brotherhood experience there, where they realized that they needed everybody. They wanted everybody. They cared about each other. They sold their possessions, their goods. They parted them to every man as they had need. I see love, compassion, brotherhood. I see those principles flowing through this. And lastly, I see evangelism. They share it with others. They share what they had with others. They reached out to others. And, you know, when you put those four things together and you ponder that, you take any one of those by themselves, and you can become unsound in your doctrine. We can go off on a deep leg of worship. We can go off on a deep leg of instruction by itself. You can go off on the deep leg of brotherhood in areas. Evangelism, we've witnessed that. It's maybe a little easier to see that. But as you pull those four together and you have a balance of all four of those, I believe it's an indication of sound doctrine. I believe we have sound doctrine. As you pull worship and instruction and brotherhood and evangelism, and you put them in the package and you pull together, I believe it's a characteristic. Think about that. I'd be open for some discussion on that. I don't have all the answers to that, but it impressed me as I thought about that. We can go off on any one of those legs, I believe. There must be a balance of these, and if we have that balance, I believe it's a good indication that we're at least close to having sound doctrine. I'll say it like that. In conclusion, what are some rewards? Just a few things quickly. Rewards of preaching sound doctrine. I wrote down three things here that came to my mind as I was summing this up. Number one, it will keep us from being swayed by false teaching, and I talked about that. But sound doctrine is going to, as we have a proper understanding of Scripture and we have sound doctrine, it's going to go a long way in being able to, de- to detect the false teaching that comes out. It will keep us from being swayed by false teaching. Number two, it brings about emotional stability. Sound doctrine brings about peace in our hearts. It brings about, yes, peace in our minds as we wrestle with questions and so on, and as we get understanding of them and as we bring things together, we become emotionally stable. Sound doctrine also, lastly I wrote down, brings about biblical separation. Biblical separation, I believe, is another characteristic of having sound doctrine. I'd just like to leave one verse with you in closing. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Let's be those faithful ministers. Let's be those men that preach sound doctrine, that promote sound doctrine, that do not apologize for sound doctrine. Yes, it's going to bring divisions. It's going to bring some of the resistance that we hurt. Some of it's going to come back in our faces. We're going to have to battle, but the battle's the Lord's. He's in it with us.